read a text verse tonight of verse number 4 of 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4. He says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You may be seated tonight. Father, we love You. So we thank You for the opportunity to gather here this evening. Lord, as we've just sung that song of amazing grace, I want to thank You, God, for the things You've done for me that I know nothing about. I want to thank You, God, You were looking when I wasn't, when nobody else could, You was, and I thank You. I thank You, Lord, for the soul that You saved here this morning. I pray You'd continue to stir, move in our midst. Oh, God, I pray You'd save our children and grandchildren. God, our loved ones, our families and friends, I pray that You would move upon them and stir in their hearts, God, bring salvation to them. Thank You for the Word of God tonight that's still real and relevant in this day and this hour. I pray now You'd help me to be a blessing to the people of God. And, O Spirit of God, I pray that You'd teach me, God, in these last days of preaching, how to exalt and magnify Your Son. I'll be grateful to You, God, in Jesus' name I ask Thee. Amen. And amen. Dealing tonight on precious promises. This morning we looked at this precious promise of pardon. Isn't it good to be pardoned? I'm thankful we've got a God that's still in the pardoning business. And as I told you, not only does God forgive, but God forgets. I'm glad our sins are gone. Glad our names are written down yonder in glory land. But tonight I want to deal not with the thought of this precious promise of pardon, but I want to deal with this thought on this precious promise of provision. Provision. God does only what God does real good. God's been taking care of me and been taking care of you a very long time. Let's look at one of the greatest men that ever walked. Let's see what he has to say over in the book of Philippians chapter number 4 about God and His great provision. Philippians chapter number 4. Here, Paul had won converts at Philippi. They'd started this early church, and Paul had laid down many fundamentals of the faith to these people. Paul had got to hurting in the ministry. He needed some things financially, and this young church at Philippi had been a great blessing to Paul. He tells them in Philippians 4, and he says in verse number 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, what things are pure and lovely and good, and the report if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, and everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction, or you did give unto my need. You helped me. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or no church gave and helped with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, boy, wouldn't that be something? This church at Philippi was the only one that had given to Paul in the ministry. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. I want to say God honors those churches that give to God's people. God is very much involved in churches helping one another and helping the soldiers of Christ to get the gospel out. He said in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Liberty Baptist Church, at the judgment seat, we will be amazed at what God has done through helping others in this ministry. Now he says in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphras the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. Brother Dana preached on that last Sunday on being a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, verse 19, that I want to deal on this great promise of provision. He reminds them now after their giving to Him and to Him helping, He reminds them, He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. First of all, out of this verse of Philippians 4:19, I want to say I see the thought of association. Look what Paul says, but my God. I'm glad I've got that God tonight. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Paul had a God. Have you got this God? This God that said, He's a personal God. He said, but my God. I'm glad He's my God tonight. There's association. Look in Colossians 1, verse 14. I'm in the teaching mood today, but I want you to bear with me a few moments tonight. In Colossians 1, I want you to look what it says in verse number 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. And as Paul's writings, grace be unto you and peace. Why did Paul always use grace before peace? Because you'll never have peace till you know something about grace. He said, grace be unto you and peace. Look, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this verse of God's provision, we find there is association. I'm glad that not only is this God Paul's God, but I'm glad He's my God. I'm glad He's your God. And if He's not your God, you can know Him tonight by His Son. So therefore, in this precious promise of provision, He said that there is association, but my God. Now, let's look back in this verse and let's break this down real quickly. And let's look at what the Bible simply says about this in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 19 on this text verse. But my God shall. Not only is there association, but now there is an assurance. An assurance. He didn't say that he might if he felt like it. He didn't even say that He would if we was good little people. But He said, I want y'all to know something. My God shall. There are a lot of shalls throughout the Bible that God used. And I want to say, never not one of the shalls ever failed. God shall is a very committed word. And here on this assurance, we can pillow our head tonight knowing we got a God that shall. Now, His word is powerful. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived before Christ. I want you to look at him tonight, found over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And we pick up a story, 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 1, about a great Bible character named Elijah. I want to show you this thought tonight about shall of assurance. Elijah, in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, here it is in verse 3, I want you to underline it. Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be, underline that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Look in verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of that brook. Look in verse 14. We see our phrase again, shall. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail to the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Now look at verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Why did it hold up, preacher? Because God had a word behind it. Can I tell you tonight the reason that we're going to get through this thing? Because there's God's word behind us. I'm not going on what the Pope said. I'm not trusting on what the Baptist preacher said. I'm going on what God said. He said He shall supply all of our need according to His riches in glory. I'm glad there's some precious promises in the Word of God. Not only that precious promise of pardon, but tonight there's a precious promise of provision. God's going to see about you. And God's going to see about me. Somebody said, well, it don't pay to serve God. Honey, it may not pay off on Friday, but you listen to me. God will pay off. It does pay to serve God tonight. The devil would tell you that God's behind. God's running right on time. And I sure am glad in this phrase in Philippians 4:19, there is that thought of association. There's that thought of assurance. But look thirdly, there's the thought of action. Of action. But my God shall supply all your need. Look at that word supply. It simply means to fill up, to overflow. Can I tell you that God has been filling my cupboard up a long, long time? We're so blessed because of God's provision. God is so good at what only God can do. Could you imagine trying to live this life without God? Many times we wonder, how are we going to make ends meet? How will we do this? Is God going to come through? Well, I want to say tonight, on this precious promise of provision, there's not only an association, but my God. An assurance shall, an action supply. But I want to say, fourthly, In this text phrase, there is an allowance. Look what he says, "My God shall supply all your need." Your need. I want to say a few things here tonight. God said He would supply all our need. It didn't say once, did it? But isn't it amazing about the God of this Bible will even give you some of your wants? He says He'll give you the desires of your heart. And if God has put them desires in your heart, you can count on it. There's a God that can be trusted tonight. And we see within this one little verse in Philippians, there's an allowance. He said, "I will supply all your need." Now, that lets me know He can handle my temporal needs. My food, my water, my clothes. God handles all my spiritual needs. God says if I'd draw nigh to God, He'd draw nigh to me. We don't have to go no place else, but aren't you glad we can go to God for our spiritual needs tonight? Our temporal needs, our spiritual needs. What about our physical needs? I'm glad God puts the air in us. And God will take the air out of us. And so, what about not only our spiritual needs, our physical needs, but our moral needs? God can keep you clean if you'll trust Him. God can help you in your right kind of living. What about our social needs? A lot of us need to work on that. I need God to help me with my social activity. There's some people I just don't enjoy being around. God's told me to love everybody, but He didn't say I had to cook hamburgers with everybody. All our need. Oh, I need some help in this area. Our intellectual need. He says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I've been doing some things of lately. In my prayer time, there's many I try to pray for every day of my life. Then I try to thank God for what He's done for me. But then there's times I say, God, give me discernment. Give me wisdom. God, give me that I need to figure out the difficulties in my life. God said, I shall supply all your need. There's been many times that I've go to preach places. You can ask my wife. I'd say, honey, I just don't know how I'm going to do that. But when I got there, I found out God said, He shall supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. Can I tell you, God is big enough, God's faithful enough, and He's good enough to see about all of His little children tonight. He said, I shall, Ken. He said, you'll never have to doubt me. I'm going to come through for you. Now, this precious promise of provision, there's association. Is He your God tonight? Paul said, but my God. There's assurance. He said, He shall. There's action. He said, He would supply. There's an allowance there, or an allotment. He said, all your need. But then, let's look further in this verse. He says, all your need according to His riches. I want to say there is abundance. According to His riches. And going, how rich is God? How big is God? God owns it all. I like what the old preacher said. He said, yeah, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hill and He owns all the taters under the hill. God owns it all tonight. And let's look at this thing of His riches, what the Bible teaches us about this evening, on according to His riches in glory. In Ephesians 3 and 20, you ought to underline this in your Bibles, Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Any of y'all got children that just ask you for anything and everything? I mean, the sky is the limit. But God said, I want you to know something about me. He says, I'm able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you need to ask or think. That's a big God tonight. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages of the world without end. And amen. Now I want you to underline this verse tonight about this abundance according to His riches in glory. Look in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. I want you to see this verse tonight. This thing really stood up in my heart. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. I want you to find it. If you write in your Bibles, this would be a good verse to underline and remember this, according to His riches and glory. We're dealing with abundance. I'm glad we've got a God that's not broke tonight. Glad we've got a God that owns it all. Paul's writing to his young preacher Timothy. This is what he says. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us, here's the word, richly, all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate or to help, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The abundance according to His riches in glory. Let's look at something here tonight before I close on this last point. Something just came in my mind. Let's look at the book of Malachi 1 second, chapter number 3. The book of Malachi, chapter number 3, on this abundance of His riches. Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 6. The last chapter of your Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6. He said, I want to get something ironed out with you now, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. He says in verse number 10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And here's a word, and prove me now. I'm glad we've got a God that approves Himself now. You ain't got to prove your God. He approves Himself. Prove me now. Glad we've got a God that proves Himself right now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive. You know, He said that on these riches and glory, He said, I'll pour you out of blessing, out of the windows of heaven. I'm glad we got a God that pours out. When I was a young boy, Grandma and Grandpa had a Jersey cow. They'd milk it every morning. I was about Parker's age. My job was to go to the barn, meet Pa Lamb, bring that bucket of milk back and set it on the back porch. There's a screen door. Had an old spring on it. I'd open it and I'd set it in there on the porch, and Nanny Lamb would come, she'd get it, she'd take it in the house, and she'd strain it, do whatever she needed to do with that milk for the day. And my grandparents were old school folk. If I took that bucket there and Brother Jerry should seen where the line on that bucket had been, and she'd say, "Now, Ken, what happened to this milk?" I say, "Well, Ma, I'm sorry I spilt a little bit of it coming up the hill." And she'd say, "Oh, son, that's okay." But she said, "Ken, what happened to the milk that's in this bucket?" I said, "Oh, Ma, I poured it out." Son, she'd tore the back porch down with you. There's a big difference in spilling and pouring. God said He ain't going to spill nothing your way. He said He would intentionally pour something on you. And I'm glad I've got a God tonight that knows how to see about all of His little children according to His riches and glory. Now, lastly, there's something that buttons this verse up that you need to see. This is why I'm so dogmatic about a particular doctrine of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. The reason I'm dogmatic about it, because it's the only way to heaven. And number two, the reason I'm so dogmatic about Jesus, you can't get in on the benefits of this God like we do unless you know His Son. Listen to me, God sees about everybody universally and corporately. God's good. It rains on the just and the unjust. The reason everybody's living here today, because God's letting them be living. But let me tell you something. When you get in the family of God, you've got privileges. And I believe it with all of my heart. God said, let me tell you the reason that you can get in on how good I am. I'm going to button it up, this last statement. Look what our text verse says in Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It's amazing what I got a hold of the day I got saved. It's amazing the new realm that I stepped into the day I got saved. By God's Son. Put me in the family. Now these precious promises aren't to me individually tonight because of one person and one person alone. By Christ Jesus. Oh, how blessed we are that we know Christ. God said, "I want to let you know where all these blessings come from." He said, "I want you to know why you're being so blessed. It's by one person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ." So that brings me to my last point. Not only this thing of abundance, but affiliation. Listen to me and listen well tonight. By Christ Jesus, He is the channel by which God dispenses His provisions. Let me say that again. He's the channel by which God dispenses His provisions. Last place we go tonight, Colossians 1:15. I want you to see this. Wrap this verse up. Colossians 1:15. I quit reading at verse 14 for a reason, because I want to share this with you tonight in verse 15. Colossians 1:15. Affiliation. He said, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Let me tell you something tonight. In this text of Philippians 4:19, there is an affiliation. He said, I want you to know and I want you to understand the reason you're so blessed, you that are in Christ. It's all because what my Son's done for you. Paid your penalty at the cross. Isn't that amazing? The day we got saved, what God has done for us because of His Son. Sure, God loves everybody. But let me tell you something. Everybody can't talk to God. Only those that are saved by the grace of God can talk to God. Sure, God can hear. Sure, God knows. But I'm talking about a relationship in the family tonight. Now, let me tell you something. Let me give you this illustration. I'm done. I thought I was done preaching, but I ain't. Let me give you this, for instance. Some of the closest people in my life are here. Here tonight. There's not anybody that I think more of than the people that I pastor. I would do things for you that I wouldn't do for nobody else. But I'm going to take it to another level. Let's go to our family and children, because we're human. There's things when it gets down to that I'd do for my children that I wouldn't do for yours. Do you hear me tonight? Will you shake your little Baptist head up and down? Let me know you're still alive tonight. When we were born in the family of God, we're God's responsibility. God sees us as His children. He'll do more things for His family than He does for others. And I believe that with all my heart. And I believe I've got Bible to back it up tonight. I'm thankful He's my Father. And I'm His child. And you can count on God the Father. You can count on what this Bible says. God's going to see about you tonight. Because He loves you. Isn't it an amazing thing by Christ Jesus what we hold tonight? A possession. We hold the rights of the family all because of the Son. I appreciate you being here this evening. I want to do this tonight. Paul was talking about churches that had helped them. I've seen a young man come in tonight. I was at a place where they've started a church in Franklin. Brother Kevin Whaley's here tonight.